This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor. According to Grand Forks-based National Weather Service meteorologist Vince Godin, the small weather system set to cross the upper Midwest this afternoon is the first of a handful for this week.
There's actually several of them. There's one coming through probably this afternoon. Probably won't bring too much precipitation with that. Maybe, I don't know, a tenth of an inch of rain or so at the most. Another one tomorrow, and then maybe another one after that for Saturday. But then early next week, we should see some warming and drier conditions moving back in.
And Godin says precipitation will be spotty in most areas.
Well, it's more convective in nature, so it's going to be a lot more spotty than it will be in the early part of the, or most of the winter. So some areas may get up to a tenth to a quarter of an inch, but most areas will probably see a lot less than that. But most of the area, most of eastern North Dakota and the northwest quarter of Minnesota. For the next few days, it looks like mostly upper 40s, maybe some middle to upper 50s as you're moving toward the pine tree areas of Minnesota. Still overnight lows, probably right around freezing, maybe a little bit above. And then as you move into early next week, we might see temperatures start to climb back up more into the upper 50s, maybe even some 60s.
The corn and soybean markets continue to face pressure from a planting window that is opening up across the Corn Belt. Van On & Company market analyst Christy Van On says there is also some risk-off trading pressure.
Crude oil struggling once again for the second day in a row. I think that you have a lot of talk right now about the debt ceiling. I think you have a lot of concerns about, will anything get done? Are you going to see people come together and be able to work on something? And with interest rates the way they are, I think you're seeing people step away from the market and say, you know what, I'm just going to put my money in something a little bit safer, maybe for a month, maybe for 6 months until this pans itself out and we get a better idea of what's going on.
And the spring wheat market is reacting to the StatsCan planting intentions.
It's doing everything it can not to get planted, and I think eventually you'll have your story on it with a lack of crop, especially for Kansas City wheat. It's really struggled over the last little bit because it's getting one shot of rain. And we know what $1 million rain can do for a market, but you are at just awful conditions for winter wheat, some of the worst we've seen. You had freeze issues in this that we're not going to know what the damage is for a while there. And, you know, one rain isn't really going to solve the problem.
Canadian farmers are expected to plant more wheat, barley, and canola this spring. The April Principal Field Crop Area report from Statistics Canada says Canada's farmers will plant 26.96 million acres total of wheat, 1.6 million more than last year. Included in the number is 19.4 million acres of spring wheat, up 1.4 million from last year. Durham area is expected to be slightly higher at 6.06 million acres. Barley acres are expected to be 7.08 million, up from 7.04 million last year. Canola acres expected to be 21.6 million, up from last year's 21.4 million acres. Acreages of edible beans, sunflowers, flax, and lentils are all expected to be lower than last year.
IntelliFarm Inc. President Brian Voss says the most surprising thing in this year's StatsCan acreage estimate is when that data collection occurred.
They had changed their data collection dates from mid-December to mid-January. And I took one look at that and I said, well, this whole report might just be going in the garbage today anyways, because when you're talking about intended acres for the coming year, by January 12th, when they finish collecting data, there's a lot of variables left and a lot of plans are the furthest thing from being solidified. So I'm going to say all of these numbers today should be taken with a lot of salt.
And Voth says the oat acres were a little surprising.
Oat acres didn't come down quite as much as what I would have thought after last year's massive acres and production and what prices have done since then. But again, then when you factor in what the dates were on this report, I still think that'll end up coming down a little bit. Canola was pretty much flat. That's not really unexpected, although there too, fertilizer has come down a lot in the last month and a half. So lower fertilizer could actually lead to more canola acres. But canola has been kind of flat for the last few years in Canada already.
Heartland Commodity and Securities Market Analyst Jason Winters thinks money flow is weighing on the corn and soybean markets.
I first noticed they coming up this Friday, and so most people have to be out of their positions, their main positions. The last few weeks, these bull spreads have been really strong. When I say bull spreads, the May gaining in front of the main gaining on the July markets. They kind of topped out the end of last weekend.
The cash markets are driving livestock futures prices.
Hogs had kind of felt like they had kind of turned around technically. I mean, they just got beat down pretty hard most of March and into April. And it looked like they had kind of turned around here a couple days ago, but are giving back a little bit here today. Cattle markets continue to stay strong. The cash market, just crazy, these numbers that these livestock sales have been seeing here recently, and that helps to continue to support the nearby futures prices.
Minnesota Corn Growers Association Senior Public Policy Director Amanda Billick will be watching the progress of the agriculture bills in the Minnesota House and Senate conference committees.
There are some differences related around the funding. One of the pieces that we are most concerned about that exists in the House bill is not in the Senate bill is a proposal to increase the fertilizer tonnage fee. This is to help, you know, pay for certain inspections, and, you know, we support those operations at the department, but we just think that, you know, with the surplus that the state has, that we should be using the surplus to help fund some of those operations that are needed as opposed to increasing that fee that will ultimately be passed on to farmers.
Billick says crop protection product language is also being closely watched.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. House Agriculture Committee is holding a producer perspectives on the 2023 Farm Bill hearing today. National Association of Corn Growers President Tom Hagg of Eden Valley, Minnesota, testified that farmers are working diligently to implement the best practices for conservation.
One of the major things that have happened in the farming process from when I started farming to where we are today, the farmers are taking better care of the land. They're more worried about the conservation. If they have some lighter ground or whatever, they'll put it in the conservation reserve program and keep it there, where they use their heavier ground then to make sure they still have the cropland for that. But farmers are very concerned about the conservation, and down the road we will be also. We, on our farm, we do split applications of nitrogen. We're not getting the credit that that you do in Illinois, but we're still using it because we're finding out how much more beneficial it can be in growing our crop.
Hagg also answered questions concerning biofuels, saying corn producers are up to the challenge of competing with the sustainability standards of electric vehicles.
The American corn farmer, you give him the challenge of growing more corn, we're up to that challenge. Just from the technology that we've improved in the last 10 years, where we can average and what we can do right now, it's amazing what we can do. But it's the American corn farmer there. If biofuels is important to us, and if we can increase and get into the, like you mentioned, the Next Gen Fuel Act to show that we can perform just as well as some of the EVs, yeah, we can. We will compete with them, and that it's because it's amazing what we get out of the ground right now with using less of everything, and how we're still taking care of the ground.
North Dakota Grain Growers Association Executive Director Dan Wogsland has been attending the Farm Bill listening sessions around the state and says yesterday's Jamestown session helped nail home the importance of crop insurance.
It's one of the top priorities that the North Dakota grain growers have, is maintaining and even enhancing crop insurance and crop insurance coverage. Another thing that's very, very important, especially if you're dealing in wheat, and that's trade. And so foreign market development monies, as well as market access program funding, is critically important. And folks are recognizing that. You know, we're an export state. That's what North Dakota is. But that being said, we need the aid and to get our products out there and to demonstrate to the world that we grow the best commodities on the planet.
Wogsland says without a doubt, funding will be the biggest hurdle of the Farm Bill.
Funding is going to be one of the major challenges. And that being said, how we can fund this farm bill to have that safety net that can be in place to make sure that we can weather the bad times and also enjoy the good times and things like that. Making sure that nutrition programs are along with this farm bill because, you know, it's all about food. And so those are going to be some of the issues as we move forward. But certainly funding is going to be one of the top issues.
Farmers have made their voices heard on PLC and ARC program preferences. And North Dakota State Farm Service Agency Executive Director Marcy Svenningson says farmers don't want to gamble on their insurance plan.
I think as we've been listening to producers, certainly in the county offices, some in our Farm Bill listening sessions, it would be nice if we could see the ARC PLC program instead of making producers choose one or the other, gambling on their safety net. It would be nice if that was available so that it was all rolled together.
Svenningson says North Dakota does a good job preparing farmers for their crop insurance decisions, but it's still not set in stone.
Every single year, the farmers have the opportunity to choose between ARC and PLC. And it's a choice that you make not knowing what the prices are going to be at the end. And so you do the best job you can. NDSU puts on workshops. We talk about all the various pieces that could go into it. But at the end of the day, it is a gamble. And whether or not prices go up or go down, that's when you have that opportunity to have a payout on ARC or PLC.
North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring is asking for nominations for the North Dakota Wheat Commission. Interested groups and individuals are encouraged to submit nominations for consideration. Three names will be selected from the nominees to be submitted to the governor, who will appoint an individual to the member-at-large position. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. National Cattlemen's Beef Association is also focused on farm bill priorities. NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane says they are in education mode while keeping vaccine banks and conservation top of mind.
You know, we're in an education phase, I think, as everybody in agriculture is up on Capitol Hill at the moment. You have a lot of new members of Congress that don't necessarily come to Congress with a full toolkit of understanding of why it's important to pass a bill like this. In particular for the cattle industry, we don't have the big support programs and farm safety net programs that other commodities do, so our asks are a little more targeted. We want to make sure we have robust funding for that FMD vaccine bank. That's a big deal for producers around the country. We want to make sure that that conservation title is well funded so that our producers have the tools they need to continue moving towards climate neutrality here in the next few years. We're on track to do that, and we need to make sure those programs stay strong.
NCBA is also keeping an eye on disaster assistance programs and risk management tools for cow-calf producers who have historically lacked access to coverage.
I'm very interested in the disaster assistance conversation that's shaping up. You know, is there a better way to fund disaster assistance so we're not lurching from crisis to crisis? Finally, looking at those risk management programs, not all of which are authorized through the Farm Bill, but all of which are supported through Farm Bill resources. We've seen huge growth in the use of products like livestock risk protection in the cattle industry over the last couple years. Those are risk management tools that our cow-calf producers really weren't using because they weren't an attractive offer for them just a few short years ago. That's the biggest short spot for us as far as risk management is our cow-calf producers. We want more of that, that RMA has the tools they need to keep the ball moving in the right direction there.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. May Wheat Minneapolis is down 26¾ cents at 8:11. Chicago May Wheat's down 11½, and Kansas City Wheat down 19½. May Corn is down 5¼ at 6:41¼. December down 4 at 5:44¼. May Soybeans are down 7¾ at 14:37¼. November Soybeans are up 0.75¢ at 12:66¾. In Winnipeg, May Canola down $9.80 a metric ton, $755 even Canadian. June cattle are 45 higher. The May feeder cattle up $1.37. June hogs are $2.95 higher. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.